Welcome to In My Humble Opinion with Imran Anwar. Today we're going to look at some of the news items that we have heard from around the world. Item number one, in my humble opinion, is still the earthquake and the devastation caused in Pakistan and Azad Kashmir, as well as parts of India, by this terrible, terrible earthquake. 80,000 people are dead. That's way more than anybody could have imagined. But besides that, there's millions of people, literally millions of people, who are homeless, without shelter, without food, without clothing, some of them not even having shoes or socks. And this is one of the most rugged terrains in the world. And winter is coming. Snowfall will be starting soon, if not already started. And in the meantime, according to various sources, less than 10 to 20% of the needed aid has even been committed. So we don't even have the commitments, much less the actual reception of the money needed to solve the problem, needed to help save lives. Otherwise, the secondary tragedy of the survivors dying simply because nobody was caring enough to care for them, that's going to be the bigger tragedy. So folks, if there's anything you can do, please do it. Go to the Pakistan Embassy webpage, go to any of the many websites available to make some sort of commitment, make some sort of pledge. Whether you can offer $1, $10 or $100, please do it. Just do this to save lives. Coming back to more mundane but important issues at the same time, election results have started coming in from the United States. In the recent election, what we've seen is that the Democrats have actually made some inroads. What that basically means is that the Republicans have started to pay the price for George W. Bush and his party's policies. Bush, obviously, as we know, has the lowest standing of his presidency and one of the lowest for any president, I understand. However, this is not even the worst of it. What this really has the Republican Party worried about is what will this mean in next year's election when a lot of seats in Congress, etc., will be up for grabs. So right now what we saw is that Bush himself made an appearance right after his failed trip to Latin America. He actually showed up at a candidate's election rallies basically to get the vote out, but I think it actually helped keep the vote in. And a Democrat that I was talking to basically said, we hope we can get President Bush to go out and work as hard for all the other Republican candidates. So basically that's what's happening in the election, and it seems that President Bush's policies are beginning to bear fruit in the bad way for his party. In the meantime, things like Bloomberg getting re-elected mayor of New York, no big surprise there. Rich people winning elections, much like in any other part of the world, including Pakistan, India, as well as the United States. One of the things I also see in the news today is another student, another school, and we've have another shooting rampage. So folks, one of the things I'm really, really amazed by is that despite Columbine, despite all the lessons we learned, it seems that there is still inadequate supervision of guns in homes. Students, there's inadequate parenting going on. Parents don't know what their kids are up to or what's even going through their mind, and also do not seem to have any control over the guns that they have made available to their kids, even accidentally or otherwise. So basically that's one of the things that's also passing the news wires. Here's another interesting item that I wanted to call your attention to. Texas voters have added a gay marriage ban to their constitution, according to this news item that I'm seeing from Reuters. Now basically there's 19 states that have passed laws or have constitutional amendments banning gay marriage. Now a lot of people are attacking those states for being anti-gay or bigoted or close-minded, etc. I think the truth sort of lies between the two extremes. I basically am in favor of people having gay rights. I'm in favor of people having gay unions if that's what they choose to do or if they feel that's what nature intended them to do. However, this issue of calling their union a marriage is what really irks a lot of people, straight conservative people, as well as many others. I, for example, I'm happily single, so I'm hardly going to be upset if somebody calls marriage an institution that should be gay or straight, etc. However, the issue is, if you know that a word or a phrase has certain meaning for people for thousands, if not tens of thousands of years, why take that word and try to give it a different meaning when you know that it's going to backfire? For example, if I was to open, well, I'm Muslim, I don't eat pork, and I have many Jewish friends and even some Christian friends who do not eat pork because Jesus did not eat pork, they say, and I agree with them. So there are Jewish folks who are not supposed to eat pork, and Jewish folks also believe in the word kosher meaning certain things. it would be stupid for me or somebody else to open a pork or ham store and basically start selling pig meat, ham, bacon, etc., and name that company the Kosher Deli or the Kosher Meat Service. It would be dumb because the word kosher means certain things to certain people. Why cause confusion? Why cause conflict? Why start something that really should not be necessary? So, I mean, if they want to go ahead and call it a gay union, hey, more power to you guys. But why go after the word marriage when you know it's going to backfire, as it is beginning to backfire? Texas is, I guess, one of 19 states that have passed laws like that. Another item I saw on the Reuters Business Wire is something that has me worried. That is that Toll Brothers, it's one of the better known builders of homes in the United States. They basically cut their forecast, and I believe their stock took an 11% hit in one day, 11% down in one day. Now, that has me worried, not just because of Toll Brothers or something, but because what has kept the U.S. economy going for the last several quarters, basically, has been consumer spending. Consumer spending really has not been driven by real high-growth jobs or high-paying jobs, especially when a lot of jobs are being outsourced to India and other places. The growth has really come, or the economic activity has really come from consumers spending money that they did not really earn, but actually got out of the escalation of home prices. Refinancing, second mortgages, etc. have been the preferred instrument to do that. Now, basically, that has kept the economy going, and that is what has basically pulled us out of a recession. If home building is going to go down, that basically means there is a decline in demand coming up ahead, which basically means that home price escalations will not go on forever, which basically means we won't be able to pull money out of our homes forever, which basically means we won't be able to spend money that we won't be getting for free anymore. And that means, unfortunately, that there might be really tough times ahead for the economy, and that has me really worried. In the meantime, our president has not had much success in the free trade agreement he was trying to sign with Latin American countries, where right in our own backyard, we do not have any influence left while we're trying to start, or basically losing 2,000 American soldiers in places like Iraq, where we had no business to be. Going on further, I see another very interesting news item, and this really has me riled up. And this is about oil. Now, one of the things we all know is that the price of oil has gone up. What I can't understand is how come oil prices have gone up and we are being told that the prices that we are paying are simply because the oil companies have no choice but to pass on the additional costs or the additional price of oil that they're paying to these suppliers, the Saudis and the Kuwaitis and who else. Now, if that were true, if it's really the Chinese and the Indians buying out all this oil, the price of oil going up, the Saudis asking us for more money for our for the oil, then why is just one company like Exxon, one company, why does that company have $10 billion in profits in just this one quarter? That, people, is really something to think about. $10 billion in profits for one company for one quarter. And that company happens to be really good supporters of the Bush dynasty and the party in power. Now, that also brings up another very interesting question, which is sort of an irony. Do you remember that we really had people who got screwed when the Enron scandal happened? Enron, if you remember, was that energy trading company that basically went bust because they were claiming fake profits. They were claiming fake sales. They, if you remember, were also big supporters of Bush and his party. These are people who were really, really, really raking in false money simply by enriching their executives, because the stockholders were paying the price, the retirees or their employees were paying the price by basically investing into this company with their time, effort, and their retirement funds. And they got screwed. The American public got screwed with Enron with their fake profits. Now, it's the other extreme. We're actually getting screwed a second time over, not by Enron with its fake profits, but by Exxon with its real profits, $10 billion. So basically, I'm sure the lawmakers have called them in, these big wigs of the oil companies, to try to explain these $10 billion and more profits per company that some companies have made. And you know what? Nothing's going to come out of it. The Republicans, and I'm not a Democrat, folks. I'm an independent, really, really, really independent. And I would call the Democrats to task for doing the same thing. Basically, what we have is the oil companies are screwing us, and President Bush and his party are basically looking the other way. And nobody is really looking out for us. Not even you, my friend, Bill O'Reilly. So that's one of the stories that is also passing by. I see Microsoft has warned of yet another security flaw in their operating system. I don't even know why they call it news, because that should be something that is known as a basic fact of life. Those basically are the main stories that I wanted to call your attention to. But really, what I am really worried about is the state of the economy, the state of the war in Iraq, the fact that Osama bin Laden is still out there. You and I are still at risk. We're at risk from being screwed by the oil companies like Exxon that have protection of the Bush government. We are at risk of getting screwed or killed by terrorists who are out there, like Osama bin Laden, who are not being hunted down. We are at risk that some of our friends and other close allies and friends and family members will be dying in Iraq, and many other fellow human beings and Iraqis are being killed by the insurgents because of a war we started. That just does not make the world a better place. That does not make the American people and the American nation a safer place in any way. And our president just seems to have his hands full trying to protect friends like Karl Rove and Scooter Libby, etc. Folks, these are not good times. These are times to worry about our future. And I really ask you, think about them. If we don't take action now, we'll pay the price later. That is just in my humble opinion. This is Imran Anwar, signing off.